Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 581. It's the 9th of September, 2016. On the podcast today, I have the Duchess of the Chart, Nicola Duke. She'll be looking at the following charts, and you can see these charts annotated by Nicola at the website. That's voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, and you can see there the Vox podcast blogs there. Just click in there and you can see them there. You can open them up and look at them on a large screen. So Nicola charts, Providence Resources, that's PVR, ASA Resources, ASA, Phalanx Group, FLX, Tlou Energy, TLOU, and Sky. Also on the podcast, Simon French, Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon, talks about UK trade figures, food inflation, which apparently is taking a turn. And also Philip Hammond, the Chancellor's upcoming and first budget update. I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. A massive measure of sentiment. Listen, on the website now, I've also got the top 10 most followed companies from the last 7 days. So this is a really telling figure. I'm gonna just, they're on the website there. I won't read them out. It's too long a list. It's a 10 of them. And also, I have the most liked and disliked RNSs today. And if you want to see the most liked and disliked RNSs from the week, also go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog there. And today's suggested stock for your watch list is by draft, and that is Work Group, ticker WORK. And I'll read out the reasons why draft has gone for this in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
It's a Friday, the last trading day of the week, and joining me as a regular there, the lady with the technicals, the Duchess of the Chart, it's Nicola Duke, at Nick Trades on Twitter, by the way. You all right, Nick?
Hello, yes, Girl Friday.
Hello! I love this way you say, hello! It's like from a middle-class sitcom from the 70s. Hello!
I'm just trying to fake some cheerfulness. Sorry.
That's good. Well, you should be cheerful. Okay, let's look at the stocks, and they've been sent in, requested by people via social media here. So first one is Providence Resources. I got to say, I've held this stock, PVR, because it's got big assets. They're not doing anything at the moment, very quiet. And I think any sign of news here, we could see a re-rate. But on the chart, what does it look like, Nick?
PVR, I think, is a bit risky. Okay, for me, there's no reason to buy it here yet. If you go to a weekly chart or a monthly chart, you can see that each time it dips down, spikes down, and there's been some really nasty spikes down. It goes down to 5.37, which is that opening day low, 5.37. So I think if you put, you know, it just hasn't, so you've got to either have a level that you're buying against, which we haven't got, because that big level is down there and there's no kind of fib level to make me go woo-woo here. Or you've got to have some price action that says there are some buyers coming in. I think it is in a short-term upswing. I think that, you know, back to the 200-day, which it keeps tagging, is quite possible. And, you know, let's face it, from here, that's 14. But in terms of an investor in a broader, longer-term trend, I'm not convinced on Providence Resources yet. It's got to do a bit more to convince me. But I do think there's a good chance of a bottom. I think it is going to tick back up and retest that pivot level at 12. Yeah. And potentially back to the 200-day, which is about 1380.
Yeah, do you know what? Technically, it didn't look good, but I'm expecting some news. Yeah, good. Yeah, I mean, listen, fundamentally, they got 358 million barrels of oil net audited, and the contingent resources there are 4.7 billion. And so they've got a lot of asset, but not at the moment. They've got cash as well. They've raised cash on a fundamental level, and they're just waiting for news, really, a positive news. And once the news comes out, this will almost, I mean, shoot up in one day, I think. So we're waiting to see that.
So I think this is making a wedge bottom in a downtrend that normally resolves with the trend, which would mean continuation lower. But we're at the bottom of the wedge and due a bounce here. So at least back to 12, probably 14, and a retest of the 200-day. Now, if we get a close above the 200-day, which we haven't managed to in this stock forever, I mean a very long time, I'm going all the way back. Yeah, anyway, 2013 or something. So yeah, that would be a very big deal in PVR. A close above the 200-day would definitely signal a change in behavior. And I don't think that's too far away, but until it does that, I'm not excited.
Yeah. No, I think they will have some news out soon that we'll see a re-rate, because they've got the assets to be a big company, you know. And,
so I would say a daily close above 14, that would be very interesting. Yeah. But until then, it's just got to prove itself. And there's, you know, the risk is, and look, you've got to look at where all those other spikes have gone, and that's 5.37. So you could lose half your investment if that happened.
All right. Okay, next one. ASA Resources. That's ASA. So what do you think? Wow, this is rallying strongly, isn't it?
Rallying strongly. And it's hit Fibonacci. It's hit the Fibonacci target resistance at 1.7. So a lot of confluence there. So that, I take that by protecting the opening day high on the 1st of October 2015 down to that first low, and that's the one that's a Fibonacci extension from that level. That's what it's been looking at. I do think it's got one more swing higher, but it could come all the way back to 1.3 before making that last swing.
Okay, all right.
If you're not in it, I would take partial profits and see if it has another go. But it is that resistance here. Looks really good, but I'd like to see a pullback before buying, or at least a few days basing. But there's a very interesting technical lesson in this chart, if you've got time for it. If you look at what it did from the 30th of August, it had five very tight inside days. A lot of chartists will call that a high and tight flag or a high and tight pattern, where it bunches up at a resistance level with absolutely no pullback, and it just goes sideways. Now, a lot of people will go, oh, it's stalled and they're long, and they will take profits on their long, and that's where the liquidity comes from for this next explosive move higher. So if you see that again, so if we see another week of really tight range, narrow range prices with no real sell-off, that usually means it's making energy, saving up energy, and the next big swing is coming. So we need to see, we are at resistance, we need to see how it behaves.
Marvellous. All right, let's move on to the next one. Phalanx, that's FLX. It's a cyber software, and it's been bottoming this for a bit, and I did buy a bit. I had a quick trade, I made about 10%, then I got out. And now I'm thinking again, listen, it's starting to get above that 50-day moving average. It's flirting with that, isn't it? It's at 4.25 pence at the moment. What do you reckon, Nick?
Well, you know, for the last 2 months, okay, I had a really big support level at 5.5 that I wanted to see it hold, and it didn't. We've dropped below it, and so we've been going sideways. It's making a really nice bottoming pattern the last 2 months, but it's not bottomed until we get back above 5.5. And right now, I think the risk is that we've got a little bit more of a dip short term before we buy. You know, I don't see it making a new low, but I think that we could come back to about 3.5, maybe 3.25. There's nothing exciting here. I think we need to look at this again in maybe a week or two.
Okay, all right. Well, let's move on to the next then. That's all right. Next one is TLU. So it's I do hold stock. It's the potential here, to be honest, on a fundamental level is quite big. And the guys behind this has done it before. I'll explain to you, Nick. This will get you excited, all right? Now, they're all about coal bed methane. They've done it in Australia twice. The guy behind this company, Tony Gilby, listen to this. He's taken two companies doing the same kind of stuff from sub 20 million Australian dollars market cap to selling over a billion. The first one he sold to Shell for 5 billion, second one to BG Group for over a billion. Now he's doing this in Botswana, and he says he sees bigger potential in Botswana this time round. And we're talking about a company here, sub again, market cap 20 million. So it's worth putting your watch list. TLOU, it's rallied strongly recently. It's a bit of a consolidation at 8.25, isn't it? What do you reckon?
Yeah, a bit of a. Okay, so again, like if we draw a Fibonacci, draw a Fibonacci from the opening day high back in December down to the low that we made in May, we have banged our head at the 1.618 extension, which is like the golden fib thing, 1.618. So that's resistance. But in 1 day, we dipped all the way back down to the support level where I would have like if I had seen that, I would said, you know, look to buy around 6.25. We went all the way down there and came all the way back up again in a day this week. So there's obviously a lot of interest here. So I think that what I want to see here is sideways consolidation, bunching up energy. The next, if we break and close above 9.17, the next target is 13.17.
Wow, 13.17.
But we're overbought, like we're coming off. This needs a bit of consolidation and back and fill, yeah. Or we'll look for maybe one of those high and tight flags for the next move. But yeah, it looks good, this one.
Okay, and the last one, it's a biggie. Sky, obviously Sky TV, Sky Media, SKY is ticker. And I've been looking through this, right? And I can't see why. The fundamentals were good. The update was good. The half-year results were very good. UBS has a target of 13 quid on this stock. And I'm thinking, why is this sold off? And I can't see why it's sold off. So I'm just thinking maybe an opportunity here for some people, you know? So, Sky, Nick, on the chart, what do you reckon?
Right, you know, I've been bitching about Sky online this week because I had a bit of issue with them about billing. And I said that I would sell it with everything I had. But you know what? This chart's really good. I think that we made a really good bottom in June in this chart. And I'm looking for a second leg higher in Sky equal to the rally that it did from the 20th of June to the 1st of August. And that's going to take us back to the 61.8 retracement of the entire decline and make a really nice equal measured move correction. And so my target for this one is 10.20, which is good, I know.
Wow.
So
yeah.
That's my big picture view. My short-term view is the resistance in this one is clearly at 8.74, and we need to get above that to confirm that we've bottomed and changed the trend. And there's a lot of Fib confluence there as well, and the daily 50 moving average. So I think it's going to knock around a bit and, you know, make a bit of a wedge here, but I would put a price alarm at 8.74, and if it goes, that's it, we're on our way. All the oscillators say we're on our way up, everything else points to it going up. I like it.
Yeah, well, do you know, well, like I said, you know what, fundamentally, I read over the last report, very bullish. UBS got a target of £13, and I can't see why it's been sold off. So I just think maybe a dividend of nearly 4% there. So I think, you know, maybe for a long-term investor here, good potential.
Yeah,
here.
You know. Well, I think a lot of the broader market has had a bit of softness this week. Mm. Next week is option expiration. It's usually a bullish week. So, you know, maybe these ones that you've been looking at that haven't quite worked this week might get going next week.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Nick, thank you very much. Nick, of course, will send me the charts. We'll put on the site there, and you can see the annotated charts, listen to the podcast and see what we're talking about. Thank you very much, Nick. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me right now is Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon. It's Simon French. Thanks for joining me again, Simon.
Pleasure to join you, Justin.
Yeah, before I go any further, I mean, did you watch the Apple? I know last week we tried the Bluetooth headphones. We've had a bit of tech problems now with the Bluetooth headphones. But did you watch the Apple update in the week?
I did, and I was underwhelmed, if I'm honest. I mean, I have an iPhone 6, very fortunate position to have that. Will I be upgrading to an iPhone 7 for a slightly better camera? I'm not convinced I will. I'll probably hold fire until the 8 comes out and see what advantages that has. And that is the challenge. You know, are we getting to the end of that technological progress frontier on the smartphone, and do we need another quantum leap that Apple have historically been so good at surprising us with? It doesn't seem to have come with the iPhone 7.
Yeah, do you know what? It's a good sales pitch, and that's what it is, you know? It's very well done, because I was, you know, mesmerized by the technological innovation they were talking about. And when I came away, about a week later, but an hour later, I thought, well, hang on a sec, all they've got there is no headphone jack and a better camera. But at the time, I was really convinced this was amazing, you know?
Well, this is the genius of initially Steve Jobs and now Tim Cook, is that they've bought you into the ecosystem, you've bought you into the brand, and therefore, you know, at the moment, it speaks for itself and you are wowed by fairly limited developments. But actually, that can't be the case forever. And this is why the Apple stock, on such a high multiple, divides opinion so strongly between analysts, because some of them, you know, believe that the R&D pipeline is still remains very strong and they will provide the next product that we didn't even know we wanted. But some are more sanguine and look at the history of massive industrial companies that eventually run out of either luck or good planning and don't provide what the market wants.
Yeah, I tell you something, that timing of the Samsung sort of 7 battery exploding was excellent just before the Apple update, you know?
Absolutely. And you think about, there's warnings about not putting your phone on during a flight in the aircraft, but the idea of even having it just in the checked-in baggage, not not being able to fly with it, that's a fairly strong warning from the US Federal Aviation Authority. So you do worry that what business and regular travelers are going to make of buying Samsung products with that as the backdrop. I think they need to move on from that story fairly quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Apple could just say, listen, buy our phone, it doesn't explode on planes.
You should be heading their advertising campaign.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at the macro news. What are you looking at, Si?
Yeah, so first up, we've got construction and trade data out this morning in the UK, and in keeping with most recent data, actually the UK economy continues to chug along. And of course, we had the image of Weatherspoon's chief executive Tim Martin lambasting all economists and politicians for predicting doom and gloom. I would just say that we are still in the European Union. We will be for another 2.5 years, and therefore actually the time to assess whether the warnings of the damage that being outside the EU may do, the time for that unfortunately is towards the end of this decade rather than right now. But certainly from a here and now data perspective, the trade data, the construction data suggested steady as she goes to the UK economy, challenges ahead, but the here and now not too bad.
It's that lag factor and also the transition, isn't it? While we see now certain banks, you know, and almost countries like Japan saying they will start to pull people out, but it's a lag, isn't it? It's not going to happen within one day. It's going to be over several years.
Yeah, you know? And you allude to the phony war, and it is the phony war at the moment, a lobbying war by banks, by industrial companies, looking to preserve access to the single market, looking to preserve their passport rights, looking ultimately to preserve the status quo. They're quite comfortable with the status quo. They don't want that changing. And there will be the lobbying battle between those and those who are on the other side of the ledger, who don't think it's material for the prospects of the UK economy, much keener to take a tighter approach to immigration. And at some point, you know, the referee in that battle is going to need to be Theresa May and 3 Brexiteers, and they're going to have to come up probably in around the turn of the year, or my expectations is March next year. They're going to have to trigger Article 50 and lay out exactly what they want from negotiations. The moment they want their cake and eat it, European leaders are suggesting they can't have that. They're going to decide which version of the cake they're going to have.
Okay, what's next on your macro radar there, Si?
Yeah, so I wanted to cover food prices, actually. So this is a story that I think is going to dominate next year, because we've been so used to food deflation in this country. Really, since the back end of 2011, we've had close to zero food inflation, and this has really challenged the business models of supermarkets, but also has benefited consumers who have seen their weekly shop prices decline, seen restaurants being able to pass on those savings when they go out to eat. But there are warning clouds on the horizon, and I would point to some data from the Food and Agricultural Organization yesterday, which pointed out that food prices are rising fast, and if you take into account sterling's impact, then that's 27% up year on year. Now, set against that is the fact that prices are still falling in shops, but normally there's a 3 to 6 month lag between when you get the spot price changing and when you start to see food producers and the supermarkets starting to move up their prices. And just referencing back, and this is, as I say, the theme of 2017 will be food inflation more broadly, and the fact that we go back to our previous story on Apple, the iPhone, when it was launched, was up to £100 more expensive in the UK than the Apple 6 when it was launched. And that is in contrast by the fact that it was held flat in dollar terms. So really material impacts on those key consumer durable goods, which we're going to go out and buy. They're going to be more expensive if they're manufactured outside the UK and they're brought in.
Yeah. So it's interesting because, I mean, we've been hearing, you know, a lot of the time that the inflation is down to supermarket wars. So that's, we're seeing the tide turning there slowly. So obviously it will feed through into the inflation figures. All right. So and what's the last thing you've got there on your radar there?
Yeah, so final thing is a date for your diary, 23rd of November. So the 23rd of November will be the autumn statement. Why is that interesting? Well, it's the alongside the budget, it's one of two fiscal events that we get from the UK government each year. And it'll be the first fiscal event presided over by the new Chancellor, Philip Hammond. He gave some clues yesterday in terms of what to expect when he did some testimony in front of the House of Lords Select Committee. He pointed to some infrastructure spending, roads and railways, not the big high-profile 20-year projects, so seemed to rule out the kind of the HS3 and the big sort of airport expansion projects being front and centre. He was looking at the more, what I would describe as shovel-ready projects, things that can hit the ground quickly and provide the support and demand that might be necessary if those Brexit negotiations we talk about are more difficult, or if the global economic environment is more challenging and we need a bit of a kick from public spending. So those are the clues. But of course, the Chancellor is still taking representations from his officials in terms of what to put into the autumn statement. And I'd expect those to become clearer as we head in towards the end of November.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that, I mean, they are the type, May and Hammond, who seem steady on, you know. I mean, they're not the kind of, I didn't expect Philip Hammond to come out and say, right, I'm going to build an airport in every town.
You know? Well, you know what, a safe pair of hands right now, two pairs of hands in terms of May and Hammond, is what markets were looking for post, you know, there were people looking around on their trading screens on the 24th, 25th of June going, well, where's the leadership here as resignation followed resignation. Actually, what you've ended up with is a fairly well-trusted top team. They've still got the elephant in the room, which is to define Brexit. But in terms of economic policy making and dispensing with the old fiscal rules of George Osborne, which history will not judge well, those were political traps for the opposition rather than in the best interest of the UK economy. And actually, dispensing with those, which was the last thing that George Osborne did as he realised they were never going to be achieved for 2020, actually gives Philip Hammond the ability to remain fairly austere, but just loosen the belt enough in terms of infrastructure to provide some support to the UK economy.
Marvellous. Yeah, you're right. It's what we need, isn't it? I do feel almost... Originally, I thought, Theresa May, I don't know. But now, I'm coming round. Oh, I've come round, I think, to that sensible double pair of hands, Hammond and May. So it sounds quite good. Thank you very much, Simon. Have a lovely weekend, fella.
You too, Justin. Cheers.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at number five, Talou Energy, TLOU, I hold stock in that. They have potential. We covered them with Nicola on the chart. And I think definitely, if you haven't got that on your watch list, put it on there. The price has rallied strongly, but have a listen to Nicola, what she said there about Talou. And, you know, wait for consolidation there, because I think definitely, you know, huge potential in the future if everything goes to plan. That's the risk, of course. So listen, do your own research. Nothing you hear in this podcast is, an endorsement to buy or invest anything. Just ideas. At four, Sound Energy, SOU. At three, it's been doing very well of late on the podcast last week with Max Vermorken and from Sigma Rock, SRC at three. At two, big contract announced yesterday for them, Strat Aero. That's AERO. And number one, of course, I had the CEO on the podcast yesterday, Jay Cheatham, talking about his company there, Pantheon Resources, most followed on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. That's PANR. And like I said, you can see this week's most followed, top 10 most followed on the website. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Okay, the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets site in the last 24 hours is Harvest Minerals. And it's a TR1 notification from Mython Group, who've taken more than 10% in the company, which is obviously a confident move there for Mython, and obviously very impressed with Harvest Mineral, HMI, check it out. And if you want to see the most liked RNS from the week, or the most disliked RNSs, then please go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. All right, it's time for one for your watch list, suggested by Draft. It's Work Group, ticker WORK. What does the company do? It's a cash shell, sold historic recruitment business to Capita. How many shares does the company have in issue? 29 million. What's current price and market capitalization? 1 million market cap, 3.25 pence. What revenue, profit, or loss did the company generate? In its final results for the year ended 31st December, its operating loss stood at 890,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? About 800,000 in cash. In its final results for the year ended 31st of December, it had 1.7 million. There's three reasons why you think people should put this on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, imminent RTO. If it actually goes ahead, we'll see the RNS, or see the latest RNS, says there. Two, could see a sizable business do the RTO given the background of Work PLC. They felt small businesses struggled to compete, so are looking for something bigger. And number three, Joe Moulton of Better Capital owns 18%. So that's Work Group, ticker WORK, worth checking out. Thank you, Draft, for suggesting that. And by all means, if you... I've got a bit of windy pops there, but you can probably tell. I hate that term, windy pops, unless it's being said to by to a one-year-old. If you know of a company that you think should be on people's watch lists, then please submit it. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click the link there on one of my blog posts, and it'll take 5 minutes to fill out, and I could be featuring it on the next podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Muchos. Appreciatos.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.